Christian Church as we begin a new series. We're kicking off this brand new series, and we've called this new series Ignite. And I want to begin the series by telling you a story about something that happened in my life way back when. I grew up in the church in Orangeville, Texas, but before I got there, I had a dad and a mom. They did not make it very long. When I was 3 months old, my mother left my dad because he was cheating on her. She gets in a plane in Gardner, Massachusetts, and flies back to Orange, Texas. And then we live there. And my mom meets a guy named Gilbert Vaughn. They fall in love, and they get married. And I still remember so vividly one day, they left us. Instead of taking us to church that night, they left us at my aunt's house and says, well, this is strange, you know. Every time we go to church, they always take us with them. Why is tonight special? Because that was the night during this revival that they gave their lives to Jesus Christ. They came back, and we're looking at them and says, why are you wet? We didn't quite understand. But we continued to go to that church, and I still remember people that are a great part of my life. You know, Rose Boudreau, who taught me when I was in nursery class, and I remember going to her house, and I remember John and Carolyn Epperly. I remember Tommy Garrison. I remember so many people that had a great impact in my life until there was another revival a few years later. Same evangelist came to our house and talked to us. And that night I decided, along with my brother and my sister, that we're going to give our lives to Christ. March the 29th, 1979, I came forward along with my brother and my sister, and we were immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And my life changed. It was never the same. Jesus meant so much to me. I was so excited when I came out there. I was ready to absolutely win the world for him. It was a great experience. And Jesus had meant something to me up to that point, but he even meant more things to me after that point. Jesus is the giver of life, the giver of grace. And I am so thankful that an evangelist came and spoke, and my parents became Christians. And I'm so thankful that I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My life is different because of him. Why did I tell you that? Well, today we're kicking off this brand new series, what we're going to call Ignite. And today I want to talk to you about your story, how your story can change the world. And I thought I would begin by telling you my story here this morning about how my life was changed. I still remember my thinking before I became a Christian, and when after I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and when his Holy Spirit came with and lived within my life, my thinking started to change, and the things that were important to me began to change. I have shared my story many times in many different places and with many different groups, and I've seen people accept that story and some reject that story. I've seen many come to Christ because of a simple story. You know, a story is a powerful thing. But if you learn how to tell that story and how to say your story, God can use you in ways that you cannot imagine. So the series Ignite is about how one life can change the world. And during this series, I want to challenge you to learn how to tell your story. Tell it well, and then influence other peoples to join you, to serve God with you, and so that people around you will be influenced to give their lives to God. You see, the challenge of the series is for you to grow deeper in your faith by learning how to ignite the faith of those around you. So we're going to look at this for the next several weeks, this how to ignite our faith. But before we get there, there is a reason that we're starting this series today. We chose this. It's very strategic. It's strategic in our planning for this year, because when we finish this, it's going to be just a few weeks from Easter, which is going to be April the 8th. But before we get to that April 8th, the day that a lot of people will choose to go and be a part of a church on that Sunday, we want to ignite. I want us to get excited about what God has done in our lives and what God can do in other people's lives. So we're going to do this series leading up to that April 8th date. So if you will, let's begin the series and talk about how your story can change the world. And to do that, I want to take you through a famous story that's found in John chapter 9, if you want to turn there with me this morning, called The Story of the Blind Man Who Was Healed. So go ahead and grab your notes in there. I have there how my story can change the world inside your bulletin here this morning. And if you want to open your Bibles to John chapter 9, we're going to look there. That's where our text is found today, John chapter 9. I want to teach you how to ignite your faith, and I want to show you how your story can change the world. The telling of your story and the telling of the story about a man who was born blind that we're going to look at here this morning, who was a beggar inside the walled city, and how that story changed the world. He was changed because of this encounter he had with Jesus Christ. So as we see, it's what we're going to look at here is going to be John chapter 1, verse through verse 11. Then I'm going to skip down to verse 24 and 25. And then I also want to look at verses 35 through 38. And so it's a pretty long passage, so let's follow along. John chapter 9, verse 1, it starts right there and it says, "As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Teachers," his disciples asked, "why was this man born blind? Was it the result of his own sin or the sins of his parents?" See, a lot of those in those days believed that it was because of their parents that different things would happen to them. If there was an illness or if there was blindness, that they were born that way, they believed it was because of something the parents had done. Or they also believed that maybe because something that happened inside the womb, that a child might be born blind. So there was a lot of this thinking. Well, Jesus dismisses all of that and just calls that plain crazy. Look as he continues there. Look at verse 3. He says, "But it was not because of his sins of his parents or his parents' sins." Jesus answered, "He was born blind so that the power of God could be seen in him. But while I am still here in the world, I am the light of the world." Then he spit on the ground and he made mud with the saliva. He smoothed the mud over the blind man's eyes. He said to him, "Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." The reason why the blind man was able to find that pool, because he knew where it was, is a place that he went often. It's the place where he went and he did his begging. So he knew exactly how to get there. So the man went and he washed and he came back seeing. He was healed. His neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Is this the man, that beggar?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, he just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I am the same man." Just imagine that. You know this guy for years, and he's walking around now, not as a blind man, but a man that has sight. Is this him? Can this be the same person? They asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" And he told them, "The man they call Jesus made mud, and he spread it over my eyes, and he told me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash off the mud.' So I went and washed. And now I can see." But what happened between verse 11 and verse 24 is all the arguments that break out because this man is now healed. Some people asked him, "Were you really healed?" And they get excited about it. His parents actually really get excited about him being healed. As you can imagine, other people are astonished at this miracle that he now can see. They're just astonished. The Pharisees, of course, you know the Pharisees. They didn't really like this at all. They didn't like it at all. They actually began to argue with the man, and they tried to trap Jesus because Jesus healed this man, guess what day? The day you're not supposed to do anything. He healed them on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, they were really caught up in the extreme Old Testament rules. So they tried to use this to trap Jesus. And that's what happened in verse 24. So for the second time, they called in the man who had been blind, and he told him, "Give glory to God and tell the truth, because we know Jesus is a sinner." They were trying to trap him. Verse 25, the man says, "I don't know whether he is a sinner or not," the man replied, "but I know this." Underline this phrase. Remember this phrase. "I was blind, and now I can see." It goes on for a little while, this question by the Pharisees. And finally, Jesus steps in verse 35 again, and he says, "When Jesus heard what happened, he found the man and said, 'Do you believe in the Son of Man?' The man answered, 'Who is he, sir? Because I would like to.'" Look at verse 37. "You have seen him," Jesus said. "He is speaking to you." "Yes, Lord," the man said, "I believed." And he worshiped Jesus. Isn't that quite a story? The story of a blind man in John chapter 9. See, he had seen something worth talking about. I mean, he had spent his entire life blind. He regularly begged at the pool of Siloam, and suddenly everyone knew him through this miracle. I mean, they knew him before, and now they knew that his life had been changed. And suddenly, because of this encounter with Jesus, he finds himself getting a lot more attention than he had ever gotten before. His parents are astonished because of the healing. The scripture even implies that his parents too believed in Jesus because of this healing. The Lord went about the town and everybody was talking about it. He was on the front page of the newspaper. And then there were those hostile folks, those Pharisees, who tried to nail him down and catch Jesus in something wrong so they can make some type of accusation against him. You see, the blind man was just a simple guy. He didn't have all the answers to all the theological questions. He just kept repeating over and over, "Here's what I know." He says, "I was blind, and now I see. I was blind, and now I see." Other people asked him different questions, and he said, "Look, I don't know what happened. I don't know why he put mud on my eyes. I simply know I was blind, and now I see." The Pharisees even threatened to expel him from the city. And he simply says, "Look, I don't know about all of that. I just know that I was blind, and now I see." You see, they couldn't rebuke his simple testimony because it was factual. He was blind, and now he can see. It was personal, and it was true. That is what I was, and that is what I am. And the difference is Jesus. Respond however you like. And you see, you don't need to know all the questions to be able to share your faith. You don't need to know everything about the Bible to have your faith ignite and spill over into the people who are around you. You just have to tell them how your life has changed. This is how I was. This is how I am. And the difference between how I was and how I am today is because of Jesus. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a story to tell. You have a story to tell, and God will use your story to make a difference in the lives of people around you. In fact, let me give you the first of several ignite points that we're going to cover in this series. And if you'll look down, it's in the top of your notes there inside your bulletin, this ignite principle. If you'll look at that, the first principle is this: my testimony is the powerful tool that God will use to lead others to faith in him. You see, your testimony, your story of how you came to know Jesus is a powerful tool that God will use to lead other people to him. When you share your story, God will use it. And God will use it to ignite the faith of other people. And yeah, there are going to be some people that are going to ask you some questions. And there may be some that are astonished. You were the one that was changed. There might be even a few of those Pharisees out there that are going to argue with you about your story. You know what? It's your story. It is true. It is personal. It's factual. And when told with sincerity, I believe God will use your story. So here is a question for you. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you willing to share your story with the people that God has placed around you, with your friends, with your coworkers, with the people in your neighborhood? Are you ready and prepared to share your story? You see, your story can change the world, and if you have had an encounter with Jesus, you have a testimony to share, a testimony that God wants you to share with the world that will make a difference in the people, in the lives of the people that are around you. So how do you do this? How do you use your story to change the world? Let's look first in our bulletin, the very first part. Well, there are a few simple steps that we can do to do this. First one is this. You have to confirm your story. See, you can jot that down there in your notes if you would. Confirm my story. See, I know that I'm following Jesus, and you confirm that you are, in fact, following Jesus. Here, you want to make sure that you have a testimony to share. And the reason some people don't share their testimony is because they lack the assurance of their salvation. Maybe that's been you. Maybe you have been wondering, am I really saved? Do I really know Jesus? Am I going to heaven? You know, if you have a decision to follow Jesus, if you made that decision to follow Jesus, you can know for certain that you are going to heaven, that you have been forgiven, and that you have a purpose for living. God doesn't want you to wonder about your salvation. We see in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Let me read that to you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. And this is what it says there. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, you can know. You can know if you have followed him, if you've done what he has commanded you to do, you can know that you have salvation, that you have eternal life. God doesn't want you to be undecided about that. He wants you to know. If you have followed him, you have faith in him. We see in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. If you believe in him, we see in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And if we repented of our sins, we find over in Luke 13, verse 3, and we confess him. He says, if you confess before men, I will confess you before my Father. We have claimed and say that he is our Lord, he is our Savior. We accepted him. And because we have done those things, we have been immersed into Christ. We go down the watery grave of baptism so that our sins can be washed away. And the scripture says there in Acts 2:38, so that his Holy Spirit can then come live within you. And that's how we know. And then we stay faithful to him for the rest of our life. And that scripture then says we can know we have eternal life. So here's the question. When did you accept Jesus Christ? For me, like I said earlier, it was March the 29th, 1979. On that date, I surrendered my life completely to him, went down in the watery grave of baptism to have my sins washed away, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. I became a Christian. And I can know today that I have eternal life because I have done what God has asked me to do. How about you? Do you know? If you know, you need to remember that day because that's important so that you can share your story with others. Maybe there's some here this morning that have not become a Christian. you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't know. You don't have a testimony because you have never have accepted him. Maybe today is the day that you need to do that. Maybe before we leave here today, that is something that you need to take care of. Maybe today is the day. Maybe today will be your day. So first we need to confirm my story, and that's the first step to using your story to change the world. You must also, you want to complete your story. See, you write it out and you practice giving your story. This is the neat thing about your testimony. You just tell your story. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to have to be a great fiction writer or a great writer to be able to come up with your story. It's your story, and everyone has a story to tell. You just have to talk about your experience. And you know, I know in working in this area that I have noticed that people have all types of different stories. For example, when you come to faith in Jesus, sometimes it's an emotional experience. There's tears that flow. I still remember having some come forward after a sermon or during a meeting. We're off somewhere, maybe in a retreat, and have someone come up. And when they come up, tears are flowing down their eyes because it's a very emotional experience for them. It's their emotions are just flowing because them accepting Jesus Christ, knowing that he is going to forgive their sins, is an emotional thing for them. When you come to faith in Christ, it can be emotional. The tears might flow, maybe just a little bit, but it can be an emotional thing. Maybe yours was, or maybe it is the exact opposite. Maybe your testimony is not emotional at all. Maybe it's an intellectual story. Maybe it's something of the intellectual mind. You know, we read C.S. Lewis, and he talks about his experience with Christ. And you, by reading his writings, you can see it was a very intellectual thing. It was just, he just came to this understanding that he needed to accept Jesus Christ. I had a friend who was an engineer, a nuclear engineer. And he had a friend that always says, you know, he proclaimed he was an atheist. And over, his friend says, you know, Jesus is there. You need to open your heart to Jesus. He says, no, I don't need to do that. And then finally, his friend said, you know, he just challenged him. He says, why don't you read the Bible? He says, no, I don't have time for that. Finally, one day, he says, well, give me your Bible. Give me a Bible. So we went home that weekend, and he sat down and he read it cover to cover. He came and met his Christian friend on the next morning. He says, you know what? I read it. I believe there is this God, and I believe there is this Jesus. And I think that Bible tells me I need to be baptized. And he went and he was baptized that day. And then he went, and next thing you know, he had started three churches. He started one in his home. He started three other churches. Next thing I know, you know, he's been invited to Russia to speak to the Ministry of Science and talk about this faith. That he came. It, to him, it was just an intellectual thing. He just made his decision. He read it. It made sense to him, and it's something he needed to do. For some of you, it was a spiritual story. Something went on in your heart, and maybe in your soul, and you really didn't know what it was, but you knew you needed to do something about it, and so you did something. So maybe your story was a spiritual one. I remember reading the autobiography of Alexander Campbell. It talks about him and his father, Thomas Campbell. They started basically the movement that we're a part of here today. And he said, as they're walking along, they're reading their Bibles, and they just realized that, you know, that Bible says I need to be baptized. I've never been baptized. I mean, I'm preaching to hundreds and thousands of people all the time, and I've never been baptized. So they walked down to the river, and they baptized each other. They just came to the understanding they needed to. And maybe that's the type of story maybe yours is. Or maybe you're like that blind man who had a physical story. Maybe there was some kind of physical manifestation that led to your faith in Jesus Christ. I've heard stories like that of someone who was healed, or maybe someone who had surgery, or maybe something else that was going on in their life, and then they had an encounter with Jesus. You see, we all have different kinds of stories. Your story is powerful. There is no insignificant story. There is no small story of salvation. So you want to write that story down. Why? I think 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 challenges us to do that very thing. This chapter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 was the theme verse of the Bible college I went to. And it says there, if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. One of the best ways that we can encounter your Christian, you can explain your Christian faith, is have your testimony ready to share. Because it goes on to say this, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. There is no more gentle and respectful way than to share your testimony is than just telling a story. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to take your Bible and hit people over their heads as you need to turn or burn. You just need to share your story. Why is your story so powerful? Look, your friends are interested in it. They want to know who you are, where you came from. Your friends want to relate to it. You are living in the same time period that they are living in. It's not some story they read about years ago or centuries ago. It's something that's happening right now. They can relate to it. They can understand it. And it's hard to argue with something that is so true. It's not like the five proofs of the resurrection, but that you might be able to argue. They can't argue with it because it's your life. It's your story. You can't argue with this blind man who once was blind, but now he sees. And God uses your story over and over again. So in working with people to do that, I've learned that there's some questions you need to ask. And you need to just ask yourself questions about what happened. You know, when you came to know Christ, what was going on in your life? What was going on that led you to Christ? And then just begin to write your story. Whatever it was, just write that story down so that you'll be ready when someone asks you to be able to tell your story. And it will be a spiritual experience for you that God will use. So let's review. The first thing you want to do is you need to confirm your story. You have to have a story to tell. Know that you are following Jesus. Think about what you're going to say, what you're going to tell about your life at the time, and then complete your story, write it out. You need to practice it, and just know what your story is so you can tell others. Then finally, commit your story to God. After all, this is really God's story anyway. Ask God to use your story. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have a story to share. So it's really God's story. So what do? You write out your story as an act of worship. And then you commit that back to God. And when you do, what are you doing is that you are placing yourself in a place where God will be able to use your story. You see, you are going to have people ask you about your faith. So let's put you in the spot where you are ready to give a response when someone asks you. Be prepared to be used. You say, God uses this. God, I want to give this back to you. You know, I didn't make this an Ignite principle for today, but it sure could be one if we would add this one. And it is this. If you aren't sharing your faith, you aren't growing in your faith. Because when you share, not only does it make a difference in the people you are sharing it with, but it also makes a difference in you. Maybe it's a conversation, you share it. Those people make a huge difference in them, those stories. So if you're sharing your faith, not only are you having an impact on the people you're sharing it with, but you're also having an impact on yourself. It helps you grow spiritually. You know, people come to me sometimes and they say, Mike, I like my faith, but it's a little flat. I have a series of questions I like to ask them, but one of the questions I always want to ask them is, if you aren't growing your faith, I want to ask you, have you Have you been sharing your faith? We need to be sharing our faith. So write that out and give it back to God in ways, so God will find ways to be able to use that story to impact another life. In fact, looking at the passage that is found by Paul back in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, it says, "My life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus Christ." What's that work? The work of telling others the good news of Jesus Christ, His wonderful kindness, and about the love of God. Whenever you commit your story to God, God will use it in just unbelievable ways. And God can use that whether someone is close to the faith or whether someone is far away from the faith. You just share your story. You just stay faithful and leave the results to God. You know, some of you probably know of the comedy Magic Magician Penn and Teller. They have a show on Showtime, and these guys do all types of shows. I'm not going to mention the name of their show here today because even the title would be offensive to most of us here this morning. But you know, Penn, who is the main speaker, and all the show, he says he's an atheist. And he firmly believes that. He doesn't believe in the Bible. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe there's a God. But he looks for ways to put down his faith, put down the faith of others, and put down Christianity. But he recently had an encounter with someone who sincerely shared their faith with him. And he took the Ignite principle to heart, and he went to the web and he just used this. And I want to show you that video. This is Penn talking about this encounter. I bet you a lot of you probably have seen this, but I think it emphasizes so much of what we're talking about here today. So you'll run that video for us, Bethany.